God bless you. Thank you for your service. There we go, buddy. All right. When you went to boot camp, they taught you several things, didn't they? And one of the things that they taught you, I'm sure, was how to march, right? And they taught you to begin on your left foot. I always like to start on the right foot. Let's bow our heads, please. Father God in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege and the opportunity that we have to be in your house to worship you in spirit and truth. Thankful for this church and this pastor and the support that they've given the Gideon ministry over the past years. And Lord, we pray that they'll grow and they'll prosper according to your will, and they'll see lost souls saved for their labor. Lord, I pray this morning that we'll not lift up self, the Gideons, but let us always lift up Jesus Christ, our soon coming Savior. In Jesus' name we pray, and amen. Anybody heard about the young man with the red baseball cap? Nobody? Who are the Gideons? We're an international, interdenominational association of Christian business and professional men. The organization of Gideon Wives is known as the Auxiliary. We need members, okay? Would any of you men have an interest in a group whose only purpose is to win men, women, boys, and girls to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ? You ask God if he'd have you serve in this ministry. Talk to your pastor. Talk to Elbert. You know, Gideon was faithful and he was loyal. He was willing to do whatever God would have him to do. And the name Gideon, Pastor, wasn't just reached up and grabbed out of thin air. It was chosen only after intense prayer, seeking God's will for the organization. What are we? We are a missionary arm of this church. Sitting in the middle of St. Albans, you have missionaries in 199 countries and territories of this world. Kuwait, Jordan, you know what's going on there. Do you know that you've got missionaries there? Let me ask you this, biblical scholars. Does Israel need Jesus? Do you know you have missionaries there? You sure do. Some of these folks are literally putting their lives on the line to take the good news that Jesus saves. When do we do what we do? 24/7, 7 days a week. Okay? And I describe it this way. We are a ministry upon whom the sun, S-U-N, never sets as we serve the capital, S-O-N. Why do we do it? Okay? We can say, well, we love the brethren. Okay? And that's the reason, that's every reason why we should do that. But let me give you some biblical reasons why the Gideons do what we do. In Ezekiel chapter 33, beginning in verse 7, it says, "So thou, son of man, I have set thee a watchman." Hey, if you're here today and you're saved, you know Jesus is your Savior, you're a watchman, okay? And it goes ahead and it says, "Unto the house of Israel, therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me." Don't we need to take the warning that there is coming a day? There is coming a day. We need to take that warning. That's not just for the Gideons and Auxiliary. That's for everybody that's saved and on their way to heaven. You need to be sounding the alarm. And it goes ahead and it says this. You know, there's a couple of conditions here, Pastor. It says, "When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die. If thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand." If we do not, when the Holy Spirit tells us to witness and we don't, we're going to answer for that. If that person goes below. It goes ahead and it says this. It says, "Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, and he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul." You know, we can't save anybody. But what we can do is proclaim Jesus, you know, his birth, his death, and his resurrection. What somebody does with it is up to them. We would save everybody if it were in our power. Why else? Biblically, do we do what we do? Amos, Amos. Chapter 8, verse 11. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land. Not a famine of bread nor thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. Is our country in a famine today? I say, yes, it is. It is. We need to hear the word of the Lord. Now, you know who we are, what we are, where we are, when we do what we do, why we do it. But let's go ahead and put a little bit more why in here. Muhammad Ali said, I am the greatest. And perhaps he was. Perhaps he was the greatest heavyweight fighter in history. You know, let me tell you about the greatest. What is the greatest question that could ever be asked? What must I do to be saved? What's the greatest answer that could be given? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. What is the greatest right? To know about Jesus. What is the greatest privilege? That's to tell somebody about Jesus. Now, how do we do what we do? Personal witnessing, okay? First and foremost, personal witness. And by placing Bibles in hotels, motels, 24/7 worldwide, jails, induction centers for our troops, elementary schools, colleges, universities, and by the auxiliary, as they place the Bibles in the offices of doctors, dentists, homes for battered women, and also place testaments in the hands of the medical personnel. Marshall University. I love to go to Marshall University. You've been there, Gilbert. Boy, I love to go down there, and I love to work on Fifth Avenue. There's a lot of action there, Pastor. Boy, you can really pass out a lot of testaments and have a lot of opportunities to witness. Well, I went down there one morning. You go there, and it's dark when you go. You had to park way away from the campus. And walking down through there, I looked way out and way down, about a block away, there was a figure walking through underneath a streetlight. And I recognized him by his walk. This was a member of our camp, and he was walking with a cane. And I knew him, and I knew him by his walk. I couldn't really tell from my eyesight, but I knew who he was. He suffers from the effects of arthritis, and he's elderly. And I quickly caught up with him because I could walk faster than he could. And when we went into the Christian Center, I went up to the man that made the assignments, and I said, hey, when you make the assignments, would you put Bill Cooper on Fifth Avenue and put me on Fifth Avenue too? And he said, I sure will. Well, the assignments were made, okay? And Bill Cooper was on Fifth Avenue. Well, they're sending old Skeens way over here behind some building. And I know, Jeff, that there's not going to be anybody over there. I know that. And I pick up, but you know, I'm going to be faithful and loyal. I'm going to do what God wants me to do. So I pick up my box of testaments, and I put them on my shoulder, and I'm just a-fussing to myself. I don't belong over there. I belong on Fifth Avenue. That's where the action is. I'll never see anybody over there. Well, I get over there, and I set down my box of testaments, and that's right where the sidewalk and the street meets. And I think that's what you call the gutter. So I set them down right there, and I open them up, and I take a handful, and I'm standing there. And I turn around, and there comes this young man with a red baseball hat on. And I hand him a testament, and he starts to walk away, and he turns around, and he comes back, and he says, I want to thank you for what you all do. Holding on to that hand, looked him right in the eye, said, are you saved and on your way to heaven? He said, no, I'm not. Oh, boy, here comes that big ham bone to that hungry hound dog. Would you like to know how you could be saved? He said, yeah. So I took him on this Roman road, Pastor. I took him down that Roman's road. I took him on that road trip. And I said, hey, do you believe what I've told you? Do you believe what's in this Bible? He said, yes, I do. I said, well, wait a minute. Where do you believe it? You believe it here? You believe it here. He said, I believe it here. I said, you know what? You can be saved right now. Would you like to pray a prayer of repentance? He said, yes, I would. Taking that hat off, he knelt right down there at the gutter. And I think all of us were in the gutter before we knew Jesus. Knelt down right there, and he asked the Lord to forgive him of his sin and come into his life. Well, he put that red baseball hat on, he took off. And I cannot tell you how many Gideons that I heard speaking of the young man with a red baseball cap on that came to him and said, I just got saved. I just got saved. I just got saved. You know, the Bible says, with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Amen. He believed it in his heart, and he was telling about it. He was overjoyed. That's the reason the Gideons and the auxiliary do what we do. Now, you know all about us, right? Okay? What's your part in this? Okay? Here it is, right here. Prayer. You can help us with your prayer for the ministry. Pray that we'll see souls saved for our labor. If you are here today and you are saved and you're in fellowship with the Lord, we ask you, pray for the ministry. If you're here today and you don't know the Lord as your Savior, or if you're here today and you're out of fellowship, please come up here. You make it right with the Lord. Then you pray for us. Prayer is, was, and will always be the cornerstone of the Gideon ministry. You help us with your free will offerings, okay? Now, I'm not going to stand behind your pulpit and tell you that every dime goes to the purchase and distribution of God's word. I'm not going to do that. But I'll stand behind your pulpit and tell you that every penny goes to the purchase and distribution of God's word. You might say, well, how can you do that? You've got a professional staff down in Nashville. Yes, we do. They are paid, and they are very good. They are paid through our membership fees, $90 per couple per year. And when we become Gideons, we're given our first copy of what we call our personal worker's testament. This is when we witness to somebody, we give this to them. After that, we buy them. That's how we support our staff. Gideon cards. You just saw the memo, the movie right there. The Gideon card. You know, what does the Word of God say? It says, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the Word of our God will stand forever. And you know what happens? You buy a bunch of flowers, okay, $50 bunch of flowers. 3 days you're throwing them in the trash. God's word shall stand forever. You can send a Gideon card in honor of someone that's passed away, anniversaries, birthdays, somebody in the hospital. You can take, you know what? This is not just a run-of-the-mill Bible. This is a good quality Bible, and it's estimated that this Bible's life is 6 years. And in that 6 years, Jeff, it's estimated it will reach 2,300 seeking souls. $5 per Bible. Can you imagine an investment, a return on your investment? 2,300 seeking souls, bringing comfort to them. So easy to use. You know, the video showed you. Stamped envelope, you fill out what you want, okay, put a stamp on it, it's already pre-dressed, drop her in the mail, you send your card, or the Gideons will send the card to you, okay? Very simple. I'll give you another demonstration, all right? Pastor, in recognition of your service to this congregation and Jesus Christ, the St. Alban Gideons will place one Bible. Think about that. 2,300 potential souls. Hey, you know, we've been blessed. Maureen and I have been blessed beyond measure. Five more minutes? Okay, let me hurry. We've been blessed beyond measure. We have a great grandson, and his name is Baylor. And I'll take that little, he's 21 months, and I'll take that fella and I'll hold him right here and look him right in the eye, and I'll say, one, two, you ready for this? You ready for this? And he'll look at me and I'll go, wee! Congregation, you ready for this? I checked you out. Okay? I checked you out. Think on this. Last time you gave $500. That was 385 testaments or 100 Bibles. That 100 Bibles had the potential to reach 2,300 seeking souls. Thank you. 230,000, I'm sorry. That's my helpmate. 230,000 people. Think on that. From last year. Now, let me close with this. I'm going to give you some historical tidbit. Okay? One book changed Russia. That was Karl Marx's Capital. One book changed Germany. And that was Adolf Hitler's Mein Kampf. One book changed that big, massive country of China. And that was Mao Tse Tung's Little Red Book. You know what, brothers and sisters? I know the book that will change the world. All we need to do is get it in their hands. Thank you for allowing us to present the Gideon message. Thank you, Pastor, congregation. Elbert, thank you, brother. Appreciate you. God bless you, brother.
Is something that's always been very precious to me. I remember being in the fifth grade, Mrs. Robinson's class, and a brother Gideon came to me and handed me one of those little red testaments. I still have it somewhere. You think about the promises. Over the past couple of weeks, we've been talking about the promises of God that He makes to every believer, the things that power us, the certainty that this life is lived with meaning, that it is not in vain, that whatever we go through in this fallen world, we have a God that never leaves us nor forsakes us, never slumbers nor sleeps for the sake of our care. We are also promised as ministers of the Word of God, because that's what all of us are. If you are saved by the grace of God, then you're part of the royal priesthood that Peter talks about. The priesthood of all believers that Martin Luther wrote so often about. The promise of God to you is that my word will not return unto me void. That wherever the word of the Lord goes, it serves a purpose. Be it in your life, the way that you live your life, the testimony that you bring through your conduct, your conversation, your character, and especially the written word of God as penned by 40 different men through the breathing of the Holy Spirit over 4,000 years of time, preserved by God Himself. So this is a precious ministry, and it's one that we are happy to be a participating church in. I hope that you have enjoyed that. How many, with the money that we gave last year, that was how many souls touched? 230,000 people will potentially be blessed by the amount of money that you gave and the Bibles generated through that. That's an amazing impact for a church that averages about 80 people on a Sunday. I know that we're a little low this Sunday. Last Sunday we had over 100 people, so we'll count it. It'll average out. But that's a tremendous impact and a testimony to your faithfulness. So, thank you, Brother Skeens, for your message and for the work that you do. Thank you, Albert, for being kind of our constant contact with this tremendous ministry. And thank you, Highland Baptist, for your giving of the Word of God to so many other, to the corners, to the furthest reaches of our world. So, before we conclude, we want to approach a time of invitation. Being Baptist, I'll take a moment to give a short little bit on what that means. Because we don't hear that very often anymore. What is this altar for? Is it just a piece of furniture that we put our communion stuff on? Is it only a table, a piece of wood that is ever so nicely constructed to match the rest of the decor of the sanctuary? I call it the altar just because of its shape, and I think that we've had a habit of doing that. But this is the place where more often than not, we say that prayer, Father, forgive me, a sinner. Sometimes we kneel down in that area. We say something along the lines of, Heavenly Father, I'm struggling with this in my life. There's something that's robbing me of my joy that I should have as a Christian, that's causing me not to have the energy that I need to have, that my life is out of balance. I go to work Monday through Friday, and I come in on Sunday, and I need you. Help me. Sometimes we kneel before it on behalf of someone that we love. My brother, my sister, my wife, my children, my friends, my community. There's something going on in their lives that I need to lay down before you, things that I'm witnessing going on within them that they're struggling with, that they need your love present in their life. That's what this altar is for. Sometimes it's, Father, I've been without a family of brothers and sisters for a long time, and in my travels, I need a place that I can call my spiritual home. But whatever the need is on any heart, this altar is here. God is here. He's ever present with us. The people of God are here to love and to cherish you, to help you through whatever circumstances come your way. We don't just call ourselves brothers and sisters as a hang-on from times go by. We believe that if you are called, if you are saved by the blood of Christ, then although we are imperfect, although we all, if you're perfect, get out. Because you'll mess the rest of us up. I need grace. I don't know about the rest of you. But I know that I am feeble, fickle, finite. I know that if it weren't for the grace of God, grace meaning unmerited love, we can't earn it. But we can receive it. Because no matter who you are, no matter what you've done, no matter the temptations that we all face every day because we live in a fallen world, no matter any of that, God proved his own love for us in that while we were still yet sinners, finish it, Christ died for us. So if there's a burden that you need to lay down, a relationship with Christ that you need to start. I like that. Do you know I'm up here or do you know I'm down here? It's not good enough just to know of the historical figure of Jesus of Nazareth, but to have a personal relationship with the Lord, the Son of God, the only begotten of the Father, who is, who was, whoevermore shall be, and is alive today. And if you don't have that personal relationship, it is available to you. All you have to do, just lay yourself down, change the focus from yourself and from the things of this world to him. And that starts with the words, Lord, forgive me, a sinner. It's that simple. So as our musicians come forward this morning, as we turn our hymnals to the appropriate page, if there is anything on your heart, I don't care what it is, if it's a prayer concern, if it is that need to start that relationship, if it is something that has been robbing you of your joy in this life, come forward. Let us pray with you. Lay it down. And receive not only the gift of that grace, but the certain knowledge that it will never depart from you. And Heavenly Father, as we come before your throne, Lord, you have told us that we have the right to call you our Father, that we have the right to go and go boldly before the throne of grace to let our petitions known, so that we may receive mercy in our time of need. As we draw to that part of our service this morning, I ask that you would let your presence be felt on every heart here, that you would examine our hearts, that if there is something that is keeping us from being the person that you've created us to be, something that is blocking that relationship with you or that potential relationship with you, that you would knock it out of the way, that you would draw all unto yourself, that your word is proclaimed today would not return into you void, but it would take harbor, that it would take root in someone's heart, that it would change the life of those in front of us now. So, Father, receive us as we are. Mold us and shape us after your will to become the people that you want us to be, the people you created us to be, to stand as one, as a church, as a family under you. So take us now into your presence. Mold us and transform us. And let us always celebrate the God who sacrificed for us. And it's in the matchless name of Christ we pray.